It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Well, good evening there, listeners. But guess what? This ain't George, as you can tell. This is Dr. Lou Caponosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party, your only tea party in South Alabama. And George, who's a good friend of mine, asked me to take his show tonight and next Tuesday night. So I will be here twice. I'm hoping that I'll do such a good job that you all will come back. Well, I won't even say come back. Hope that you'll stay on and then come back next week. I think that'll work out. George and I have been working together extensively this summer, mainly because of this critical race theory. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But the fact of the matter is that since George has been back from Florida, he has made a big impact on how the Republican Party is doing things. And I do think that it's an important, it's something very important for the Republican Party to work with people like George who can actually bring more minorities into the Republican Party. George and I are working against critical race theory in a biracial way. And I'll talk more about that in just a second. But let me say, as far as our show goes tonight, I've got a couple of guests for you. One is Kevin Spriggs, a local businessman who is an activist, a conservative activist, who is instrumental in helping us defeat the I-10 bridge $6 toll. And he is just one of those stand up out for Alabama individuals. And I want you to listen to some of the things he and I have been talking about over the past 6 months with everything that's gone on since the steal. And you see, I've said the steal, and I'll stick by that interpretation of what happened with this 2020 election. We can talk about that maybe. But my second guest is, again, an individual who most of you are going to know, our state agitator. Our state auditor, Jim Ziegler, who is in the process right now of going through an exploratory committee to see if he is going to run for governor against Governor Ivey. I hope that Jim does it. We have pretty much said to him that he will have grassroots support that will just overwhelm the establishment. I really believe that. We've supported Jim in so many different places and ways. We put him on as the anti-gas tax person. We put him on the radio throughout the state on Amendment 1. People know who Jim is. He won two statewide elections as an auditor. People know Jim Ziegler. People like Jim Ziegler. People don't like the things that Governor Ivey has done. And we'll talk more about that as we get through. Now, before my guests get here, let me just take you through a couple of points that are important for us. I think, I have a Monday radio show, and I think that, what I try to do is go through an update of some of the key things that took place in the past week. So let me just go through a couple of things before we have some calls coming in. The first thing I want to mention to you is that we have been fighting against Common Core for the last 10 years. We failed for the last 10 years to get rid of it. We had an opportunity to get rid of it during the last legislative session with HB 440. But as always happens, that bill got caught up in good old Terry Collins' Education Committee. She's the chair of the Education Committee. And for the eighth time in a row, she killed a good bill to get rid of Common Core in her committee. This is an individual who has taken $25,000 plus money from the Business Council of Alabama, who is our enemy when it comes to this business of supporting Common Core. They're the main reason why we have not been able to get rid of Common Core. But there is a second way that we have attempted to get rid of Common Core, and that is through the State Board of Education. The game plan there was, we were told, and this was good information, that if we got four votes on the State Board of Education, Governor Ivey would be the fifth vote. So we have been operating for the last 6 months under that assumption. We have got a team together that has met with Joe Bonner, who is Ivy's chief of staff, and Nick Moore, who is her education guru. And he's not a guru of any sorts, but nevertheless, they'll call him that. Our team met with them. Then they met with Superintendent Mackey and Nick Moore. The next step is to meet with the governor. And I think that this is going to be the telltale meeting. Because if she does not become the fifth vote, as we were told she would be, then it's going to be a war. It's really interesting. She released an educational memo out today, extolling the virtues of all the things that they have done that is so wonderful. And a few things are good. But guess what, folks? We are 52nd in the NAEP. Think about it. 52nd in the National Assessment Project. 52nd in math. 48th in English Language Arts. Now, how is it that Governor Ivey can send out any kind of a message about how good Alabama's doing education? It doesn't make sense. And here's the kicker to this. In our estimation, and in the analysis that we have done, and we're talking about math experts and other education experts who have been around for a long time in the system, the one variable that stands out that explains why we are at the bottom is the fact that we adopted Common Core with a Republican Governor Riley, thank you. We adopted Common Core at the time when we were on the ascendant in the NAEP scores. We were 25th in the country. 25th. Now, once they adopted it, that's when the slide started. We've got graphs that demonstrate it. A clear upward slide from 2003 to 2009, and then a descent after 2010 because we adopted Common Core. Every other variable does not meet the test of an explanation except this one. And here's the real problem. Since 2015, there has been an unbelievable plummeting down, down, down to the point where we've got 52nd and 48th. Now think about this. At the same time that we are getting worse and worse, the Education Trust Fund is putting more and more money into the system. So this is not a question about money. It's a question about why we ever adopted Common Core and the degree to which it has become an albatross around our necks, I should say around the necks of our children, and we have, well, once again, lost a generation. This is just something that is unconscionable. And yet, this is what Ivy has done. Second thing I want to talk to you about is critical race theory. George and I met in Birmingham with a group, our Alabama Conservative Coalition, and the Republican Women of Shelby County. We put together a biracial approach to going to these local school boards and telling them that this critical race theory cannot be brought into our schools. It's racism in reverse. It makes no sense to talk about systemic racism when you look carefully at what has taken place in the political and social revolutions that came about as a result of the 1964 and 65 reforms, the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the 65 Voting Rights Act. To say that we have systemic racism when you've got Blacks who are in charge of major cities. You've had a black president. You have interracial marriages at the highest rates ever before. 70% of all marriages are interracial. Where's the systemic racism? I don't know. For us, it's a no-brainer. There is no systemic racism, and what these Black Lives Matter folks are trying to do is just overturn the system, because in the end, they hate this country. They want to make it a Marxist socialist entity. And we're not going to let that happen, folks. We just ain't going to go down that road. And that's why people like George and I are out there fighting against it. And at this point, we're going to ask you to fight with us, because we need your help. Thank you very much. We're now into break. And Philip, thank you for telling me it's break time. All right, Philip, thank you.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Okay, Dr. Lou Caponosi returning in George's place. Actually, I can't take his place, that's for sure. Listen, before I have my guest Kevin Spriggs comes on, I've asked Teresa Taylor, who is a Gold Star wife, and she's one of the hosts for Common Sense Radio on Thursday night. Teresa, thank you for coming on. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, thanks for having me. You know, you were just talking about all that's going on with Common Core, all the stuff that KIV is doing in direct opposition to all the things that people like you and I are fighting for. We see what's happening. We understand. But the truth is, unless you're politically feared, you'll never be politically respected.
Right.
And so a lot of us, we know what's going on. We just don't know what to do. So the good news is, on August 28th, there's going to be a class right here in Mobile. It'll be next door to the University of South Alabama at the Holiday Inn Express. It'll be a day-long intensive class. You don't want to miss this. You'll learn the real nature of politics. Exactly what can we do to get these politicians to do what we want? The left knows, and they've been doing it quite well, as we all know. So in other words, we have to admit we're losing. We're losing ground, and we don't have time to try to convert everyone. What we need to do, those of us who understand, we see the ships going down, what can we do in the meantime? There's actually a lot we can do. I attended the same course in Daphne back in March, and I walked away with my head held high. We actually did get some legislation turned our way, a group of us. So, in other words, you don't want to miss this class. You can easily register. There is limited spacing. It's not going to be a huge group. But, again, it will be a day-long intensive. We'll feed you lunch. We'll have snacks. Pete Ream and I will be there. Hopefully, Lou, you can come. A lot of us will be there, but seating is limited. And we do need you guys on board. Even if you think, I'm not into the politics, I just like listening to what's going on, it's too late for that. We need all hands on deck. Everyone
exactly.
needs to do their part. So if you want to come, I have a link I will send to you. If you just text in 343-0106, I sent the link in, they can send it back to you. Or you can email me directly, Teresa Taylor, 333@gmail.com. I'll send you the link, and you can sign up easily right from your iPhone, your computer. It's super simple. But again, seating's limited, and we need you there. So don't miss out. I'll be talking more about it. You can find all the information also on Pete and I's Common Sense Town Hall Facebook page.
That sounds great, Teresa. Listen, thank you for doing what you do. We really appreciate it, and we are going to win against these people.
Yeah.
No question about it.
We
all
are,
right?
And here's the good news, Lou. The system works if you work it.
There it is.
The bad news is a lot of us, not you and maybe not I, but a lot of us, we're listening. We understand what's going on, but we're not getting our hands dirty enough. And
well,
there's things we can do, but we just aren't doing it. And the left is making hay while the sun shines.
They
so
sure
we've
are.
We've got to start now. So please come on the 28th. Text in 343-0106. They can send you the link. You can register right from your phone or email me, Teresa Taylor, 333@gmail, and I'll send you the link.
Thank you very much, Teresa. You take care. Best of luck with
awesome.
This.
Thank
Appreciate
you, sir.
It.
Have a good night. Thank
night.
You.
Good night. Well, we have, I think, Kevin Spriggs on the line. Kevin, is that you?
Yes, sir.
It is you. Very good. Philip, just hit that button and up you pop. That's great.
There we go.
Yes. Well, listen, you just heard Teresa talking about the political situation and that we've got to stand up and fight and learn how to do that. I think that you're one of those individuals who has learned that lesson a long time ago and, you know, have been involved and made things happen. And I know you're as concerned as Teresa and Pete and all the rest of us are about some of the things that you've seen taking place. So I'd like you to just sort of give the audience a sense of the top three of these issues that we've been talking about for the past 6 months since Biden was elected or, you know, inaugurated, and just give people a sense of your basic feeling about what we need to do to turn this around.
Well, Lou, it's a politician, local state politician told me one time that, you know, if you don't occupy the space, somebody else will.
Yeah.
And that's what we've seen happen here, where in some of the large cities in the country, where we've just said, well, you know, they got a lot of problems, let me just move out of here and just kind of let those people, you know, have themselves. And by leaving those places behind, it's left a vacuum where a lot of nutbags and left-wingers and people that you just could not believe would ever be elected to anything. Mm-hmm. Well, when there's a vacuum and nobody else is there, guess what? They get control. And now, you know, they have assembled enough votes or followers or whatever you want to call the people that follow people like that. You know, they have enough now that they've got control of our national government too. And that's because if you don't occupy the space, somebody else will. So that is a call to activism, you know, that it's one thing to, you know, shoot the bull with your friends at the lunch table or
right.
something like that, but then when it comes time to, you know, financially support a candidate that reflects your views, put up a yard sign and just talk on your social media if you haven't been kicked off.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Talk on your social media to try to advance the cause, because the other side, they're occupying the space. You know, and they've reached a dangerous critical mass where they are ready just to subvert the whole country. That's
well,
the way I see it.
I think you're just spot on with that. This question that you mentioned in terms of not getting canceled, let's talk a little bit about cancel culture, because I think it is one of the great dangers. And the fact of the matter is, as a businessman who has to be concerned about how cancel culture could affect you, let's just talk a little bit about that and how we can deal with making sure that we can stand tall and still not be canceled.
Well, we saw, I don't know if all the listeners are familiar with what's happened to Pete Rehm when he came back from Washington, and where a national company tried to, put him out of work, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
By making demands on a local real estate agency there. And I was very glad to see that agency stood up and said, no, we don't do business like that here in Alabama. And that's the consequences. But when you are, when you become a threat to the system and you get noticed by the system, these big corporations that normally, you know, support Republicans and believe in free enterprise and all that, but all of a sudden their woke credentials start to come into question, and oh well, you know, we'll just find somebody to whack to show the woke crowd that yeah, we're woke too, you know. And for these big corporations, it's not, you know, us as individuals are relatively insignificant to their bottom line, especially those that are in the middle of the chain here, like in the final retail point, where, you know, a big corporation says, oh well, you know, that guy, you know, he went to Washington. He's a part of the insurrection.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to let him sell our product anymore. Well, you know, was there any kind of trial or proof, or you know, was the guy actually? Was he arrested for assaulting a police officer, or did he actually break the law? No, they just decide, well, you know, to firm up our woke credentials, we're just not going to let him sell our product anymore. You know, and for some people that, you know, that their businesses are tied to, representing a particular brand, you know, that's a major deal. You know, that could put them out of business.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of economic power that they're, you know, leveraging here to try to get everybody to comply and to fall in and be woke and to discriminate against white people and force all this discrimination and you know, get our kids, you know, try to indoctrinate our kids with this racist ideology. That's
right.
Exactly what's going on, you know. And I'm glad to see that parents are standing up to it and pushing back. And it's always like, I had a lady question me about our homeowners association and how they're spending money, you know. And,
right.
And she didn't vote for the homeowners board that's in control of her.
Kevin.
You know, homeowners association.
I've got a hard break here, so just hang on for second. We'll come back and we'll wrap it once we get back from the break. Thank you so much.
Good
talking to you here.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Okay, folks, we're back. It's not exactly George Williams, but it's old Dr. Lou Caponosi from the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party. And I've got Kevin Spriggs with us. And Kevin, you know, just to kind of wrap up what we were talking about, I know we have identified the problem. How about talking a little bit about a solution to all of this cancel culture? What are some of your thoughts about that before we go?
Well, Lou, we got to be vigilant in that. I mean, there are some very really simple things that you can do, like don't click on Facebook ads, for example, because every time you click on one of those ads, that puts money into Facebook's business model that they can then use to turn around and pay for people to suppress your speech.
Right. That's a great deal.
You know, I really question, you know, after we've seen what Twitter is willing to do to enforce a political ideology. I mean, why are state institutions still using Twitter to communicate to the public? I mean, there's other forums out there. There's bulletin boards. There's other ways to do that. Why does it have to be Twitter? And to me, it's just like, why, you know, you see what they are, so why do you keep feeding that monster, you know? So,
you know, that is such a good point, Kevin, and we've talked about this before, and I think we're just going to have to start doing something about it, you know, and quit talking about it. So
that's right. There are alternatives. Let's push our government to use those alternatives and to not just keep feeding a monster that's just growing in power and willing to cancel. Next time it might be you that gets canceled.
That's for sure.
That's the way you need to think about it.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, yeah. Kevin, thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon, and we'll continue this discussion, okay? Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, listen, folks, Kevin Spriggs was just on. We've talked about cancel culture. My next guest is someone who they are trying to cancel, and that's our state auditor, Jim Ziegler. Jim, welcome tonight.
Well, welcome to be on with you and George Williams, tens of thousands of listeners out there.
Well, I'm telling you, George is a popular person. I'm not even going to talk about trying to, you know, fit, you know, walk in his shoes, but I guarantee you, you know, whoever's listening tonight is going to enjoy having our agitator on to talk about some of the things that we need to do. I mean, we're talking about cancel culture. The state house in the Senate and the House, they've tried to cancel you, cut your budget. They try to, you know, run, make your job just go away. So you can speak from, you know, the experience about cancel culture beyond what Kevin and I were just talking about. So, Jim, let's talk about the possibility of you running for governor. Let people know what's going on with all that. Then we can talk a little bit about why I think you should be running.
Well, thank you, Dr. Liu. And we had an excellent lunch meeting today in Montgomery. We had our first meeting a month ago in Mobile and Baldwin on the causeway. Very, very good first meeting of my exploratory campaign, testing the water for a race for governor. And again today, we had a full house at the farmer's market in Montgomery, and had some media coverage there, and that's important too.
Right.
What I told the overflowed room of concerned citizens was that I have a deadline of January 28th to make a decision on whether to pull the trigger and run for governor. But it's my hope to be able to make the decision and announce well before that. I'm hoping that by the August 21st meeting of the state Republican Party in Birmingham, that I'll be able to announce and go there as an announced candidate and not just an exploratory candidate. And, of course, a lot of the people there wanted me to go ahead and announce today, but we're having to do some exploring in this exploratory committee. And the main thing is, can I raise the money to get the message out? That's my weak point in politics. And the incumbent Governor Ivey will have millions of dollars. She's already got over $1 million. Right. And I won't have anywhere near that much money, but I don't need that much. If I can get the money to get the message out, the issues are on our side, and I'd be glad to go over what they are.
Well, Jim, I think that that's exactly correct. I mean, and I'll let you talk about the issues, but I do think that you have demonstrated an ability to get the grassroots fired up, whether it's the gas tax, whether it's against Amendment 1. You helped beat Amendment 1 75-25. So, I mean, personally, I think that your ability to motivate the grassroots through, yes, it takes some money, but, you know, social media is free, technically, and our radio ads that we put you as the voice of opposition to Amendment 1 and the gas tax, those weren't million-dollar ads. So it seems to me that there is a fundamental approach to this that puts you in a very good position to spark this citizens' revolt, essentially, is what it boils down to. And I'd like you to talk about some of those issues that make sense to us, because Kay Ivey has not done anything to help the state in so many different ways.
Governor Ivey did not run for re-election on the issue that she would raise our gasoline tax 10 cents a gallon. She didn't run on that. That wasn't in her platform. And as soon as she got reelected in November of 18, she put first priority on ramming through in a special session she called of the legislature a 10 cent a gallon gasoline tax. And the way they did it, there was no transparency. The public wasn't for this. And she and her advisors even interviewed Republican candidates back during the election to make sure they were going to go along with her gas tax increase, regardless of what their constituents wanted, who they're supposed to be representing. And that was just was an unconscionable thing that she did. And I led the opposition and came up with Plan Z, which stood for zero gas tax increase, and came up with a five-point plan to provide for the road and bridge needs without the gas tax.
Exactly.
Including $63 million a year that was being diverted away from the gas tax money for other programs. It was supposed to go to roads and bridges, and it got diverted. And this was a yearly thing. And we had 5 points to the program. Well, Governor Ivey and the insiders did not listen, and they rammed it through anyway.
And they blackmailed people into, and they played real hardball with this, threatening people down here in Mobile that if they didn't support it, they weren't going to get any money for the port, you know, and that sort of thing is just unconscionable in my view.
Well, it is, and that we're going to have to remind people of that she did that.
Yeah.
But now the good news is that was the last time that our citizens group lost to Ivy and the insiders. The next thing, on top of that gas tax, which was supposed to go for roads and bridges, she wanted to put tolls and build toll roads and bridges all over Alabama. And the first Ivy toll bridge was going to be on the I-10 over Mobile Bay. And I was told when I first started the opposition, it's a done deal. You're wasting your time. They're going to ram it through like they did the gas tax. And fortunately, I and our 50,000 citizens that over a three-month period joined our effort did not listen to the prophets of doom, and we figured out a way to legally block the toll bridge in 2019, and we did so. We may have to do it again, but we blocked it, and so that score one for the taxpayers and zero for Ivy.
Exactly. Jim, let's hold these thoughts. We've got a break coming up, and then we'll be right back. This has been just a great talk about why you need to be running. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Okay, so I'm not quite George Williams, but I'll tell you what, we've got a great guest, and I don't think George can do any better than what I've done to bring him on today. So that's going to be a challenge for George. Let's continue our discussion with the state agitator, who I hope is going to be the next governor of Alabama. Jim Ziegler, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. And the next thing that we took on, we the citizens took on, was Amendment 1. Governor Ivey pushed through the legislature Amendment 1 that would have taken away your right to vote for state board of education members and made them all appointed by the governor. What a plan. It was a ridiculous plan. And my wife, Jackie Ziegler, and I were the state chairs of the Vote No campaign on Amendment 1. It went up before a vote of the people on March 3rd of 2020. And with about one-tenth of the money that Ivy and the insiders had, we got the message out, and we beat Amendment 1, 75% no. Now, that's a resounding no. And
it is.
That's my base right there. 75% of the people will vote against government foolishness and waste and mismanagement and corruption if we can get the message to them. And we'll be in this exploratory campaign coming up with the money to get the message out. And then at that point, we can pull the trigger. Now, the final latest issue was Governor Ivey and her advisors, and that's a large part of the problem there, those irresponsible advisors, came up with a $3 billion prison rental boondoggle where they would give contracts, multi-billion dollar contracts to outside outfits, and they would build the prisons and get a 30-year lease. And we, the taxpayers, would pay around $100 million a year rent for that 30 years, at which time we wouldn't own equity in those prisons of zero.
Exactly.
Zero. You pay $3 billion, over $3 billion in rent, and you don't own any equity. The fat cats who had the contracts and got all those rent checks, now they own the prisons, and you've got to start over and buy them from them again. What a terrible business model. And we spotted terrible flaws in the plan, and we got that information to the investors. And the investors did something that Governor Ivey and the insiders don't do. They listened. They listened.
Right.
They didn't want to put their billions into a horribly flawed plan, and they didn't. They pulled out, and so we killed Governor Ivey's $3 billion prison boondoggle. This is no way to run a railroad, and it's no way to run the governor's office. We've got to have some common sense in that office, and basically this campaign will be Jim Ziegler and common sense versus Kay Ivey and dollars and cents. She'll have more special interest money. Whoa, she have it. And she'll have 10 times the TV spots that I'll have. But we can get the message out because they haven't been doing right.
Well, and you know, Jim, that is really the formula for every successful grassroots movement. Excuse me, I've had the cough. But the fact of the matter is that you've already demonstrated in your two statewide campaigns that you've got good name recognition, that you've got people behind you. I mean, you don't win two elections if people don't want you to be there. And I think that, you know, when you put together what we've been able to help you accomplish on Amendment 1 and on the gas tax, I think that your name recognition and the degree to which those issues resonate so well that, well, I mean, you know, obviously, you don't have to convince us of this, but the fact of the matter is that this business of critical race theory and Common Core, I think, are going to be other issues, which especially Common Core, that you're going to be able to take advantage of, because this question just will not go away from her. And let's put it this way. She will have an opportunity soon, I hope, that she will be able to become the fifth vote to replace Common Core. In some, I mean, politically, it would make sense. But for her to cross that bridge means that all of the special insiders, the Business Council of Alabama, the workforce development people, all those people who have money who want Common Core, she may very well not take it on. And if that happens like that, what is your sense of exactly what you can do to just hammer that home if she does not become the fifth vote?
Most of the organizations that have been fighting to repeal Common Core by whatever name it's called say that they're reasonably assured of four votes on the State Board of Education. Now, that's one brick short of a full load. Four votes on a nine-member board doesn't do the job. You've got to have a fifth. And if I can set up that the election of Jim Ziegler as governor would be that fifth vote, and that's it. Your vote for Ziegler is a vote to repeal the failed Common Core standards and go back to what was working so, so well right before Common Core, working extremely well. Alabama had never seen such progress in education.
Exactly.
We need to return to that. And this is setting itself up. 4 votes. Kay Ivey could have been the 5th vote. She's after being lieutenant governor and then governor since 2011. She hasn't done it, hasn't made a move toward it. And so let's do something else and put Jim Zucker in. Bingo, there's your 5th vote.
We're coming to the end of this, so just quickly wrap it up for us in less than a minute, if you could.
I'm asking everyone to go on to my main Facebook page, Block the Tolls, Support Accountability. We've got over 50,000 members, and please join it. That way it will keep you informed about the issues in Montgomery, things you might not hear through the mainstream media. You'll get the straight scoop there, and it will show you a link where you can donate to my campaign. It's tinyurl.com/zigdonation. But it's, the link is on that page, and we're going to be depending on hundreds of small donors instead of a handful of special interests that want something from the taxpaying public.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I really appreciate it. I've got about 10 seconds to go to sign off, so I'm going to leave it at that. But for the audience, next week I'll be taking George's place. My guest is going to be Congressman Mo Brooks, your next senator for the United States Senate. Thank you all for listening tonight. Send your texts in. I'll take a look at them and try to respond if Philip can get me all that information. Y'all take care. God bless. See you next week.